Today's podcast is brought to you by Something Blue by Anita Kay, specializing in wedding and event photography. Visit her page on Facebook. For those in love, capture those memories with Something Blue by Anita Kay.
Please don't hump my lamp.
Dude, I am 7 fingers into Jim Beam.
Get the fucking chili hot dog out of my face.
Your next comedian coming to the stage is so funny. He's such a hoot.
And making sure
let me shove this baby out of my chewed up jibs and then
stoner
and the fat man.
Fuck you, Mark. Mark, pull up, everybody.
Welcome back to the Unbridled Enthusiasm Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Poulos. As always, it's good to be back. I have on the podcast this week a good friend, Randy Ancarlo. He is from Duluth, a comedian that I've known for quite a few years, and we've done a lot of road gigs together and a lot of strange towns and strange stories. So he stopped by to chat about our experiences together, and coming up next, my interview with Randy Ancarlo.
I hold the microphone so close to my mouth that sometimes my teeth hit it. I'm like, oh.
That sounds really weird.
Stop eating the microphone on stage.
Randy Ancarlo, you're on the show. We have started taping. We are eating potato olays. And
11 o'clock at night in Bismarck.
What time is it? It's 11 o'clock? Man, that's late.
Maybe it's midnight.
No, it's 11. It's 11 o'clock. You know what's going on. Potato olay time. We were in Bismarck, North Dakota. We were working at the Dakota Stage, which is usually they do plays.
Boing, boing.
Are you swearing at me? What the hell are you talking about?
That's their newest play.
Boing, boing. Did you ever find out what that play is about?
Mm-mm.
It looks Frenchish.
It looks like airplanes.
It's about Boeing 747s? Is it Boeing or Boeing?
Boeing. B-O-E-I-N-G.
How do you do a play about airplanes?
You just fly them in.
What the hell are you talking about? So I suppose we have to give them a little background on who you are, because most of the people that I have on my podcast are good friends that I've worked with quite a bit. Randy, I met, how long has it been? Has it been
7 like years?
7, 8 years?
Probably about 7.
Was it Duluth the first time I met you?
You were first emceeing? Time. I was emceeing and you were featuring.
Probably featuring,
back then.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Roger Radley? It was.
Roger Radley. God, you have a good memory. Holy shit.
The stage was in that corner back then.
That's right.
And that was the only show we ever put it in that corner, and the vent fell on somebody.
Whoo!
It just fell on a random table.
Oh my God. That's ridiculous.
It was after your set that night.
So if you guys are ever in Duluth, and it's a Saturday night, they just do Saturdays now, right?
Yeah, 2 shows Saturday.
It's called Dublin's Irish Pub. It's right on Superior Street or Michigan Street. I always mess that up.
Street.
Superior Street. They do live comedy every Saturday, 2 shows. Get down there and see a show if you're in Duluth. And you have been involved with that since its inception?
Since the very beginning.
Do you know the history of how the comedy got started there with Mike?
Yeah, actually...
Like, did that room always exist in Dublin's Pub? Because for people that haven't been there, it's a very strange room. It's like a bar, and then you walk into the back of the bar, and there's like a room, but like three of the four walls, or two of the four walls are like exposed to the bar. So like you can walk around two of the four walls of this room, so it's just really strange, like... You don't walk through a door into another room. You can like visually see the room where comedy goes on, but it's closed off and you can't go in there.
Right.
So do you know if that room...
It wasn't always for comedy. He actually, the bar opened in late 2006, September of 2006. They started doing stand-up in March of 2007. Okay. Started doing an open mic in there. And the very first time I ever went on stage was the very first...
I gotta get my phone. God, this chair is not easy to move. Holy shit.
Keep talking.
It doesn't move. They decided to do an open mic on a Mondays, first, third, and fifth Mondays of the month. And that was the very first time I ever went on stage, was the very first open mic they ever had there.
And that was 2006?
March 5th of 2007.
Holy shit. The beginning of the magic. So.
I wanted to go on the open mic, and they asked me if I ever did stand-up before. And I lied to them.
You said yes?
I was like, yeah, of course I have. Like,
you gotta get
four
up on
times.
The, Randy, you gotta get up on the mic, man. This is a radio show. You can't just lean back in your chair like we're in a living room having a good time.
But we are.
We are having a good time, but you got to get on that mic so these we can hear
people
the beautiful
hear.
Bean footage. So, do you remember the first joke you ever wrote?
First joke I ever wrote was about Ronald McDonald.
What was it?
It was, I think condoms should be sold in shoe sizes because they say a man's dick is the same size as his foot. But look at Ronald McDonald's feet. He wears like a size 40 in clown. And it got no laughs.
I still remember the first joke I ever wrote. My dad told me that he named me Mark instead of Marcus so people wouldn't make fun of my name. Of course, he forgot that our last name started with poo. So they would call me Mark Poops a Lot, Mark Poopy
Mark
Pants,
Poops a Lot.
Mark Pooped on Me. That guy deserved it. That was the first joke I ever wrote. So I came to Dublin's opening for Roger Riley and met you.
When do you think that was? Maybe June or July? Well,
yeah,
they started doing the pro shows in June of 2007.
Yeah.
So I bet it was August.
So yeah. Every time I come up there, we chat and stuff. And then when you finally got what you felt like was a solid 30 minutes, then I started using you on the road for gigs and stuff. And that's how it started. I remember some funny stories from Dublin, like that classic story with me, you, and John standing outside. And the guy tried to sell us the razor. And well, this is how the story went down. I was standing outside with Randy and the MC. His name was John, right?
John.
Yeah. So we're standing outside just waiting for the show to start. And this crazy guy comes up to us. And he's holding, like, a Nelco, like, electric razor that you would use to, shave with. And he starts trying to get us to purchase this razor. Because obviously he was a crackhead. I don't want to make any assumptions.
I can tell by the four teeth he had left.
I believe, I don't want to assume, that he was probably a crackhead. But he go, come on, man, buy this razor, man. Come on, it worked good. And then he started, shaving his hair. And at that moment,
outside of the bar.
At that moment, Randy and John were completely engaged in what this guy was going on. So I, unbeknownst to anyone involved, turned and just started walking away. And I was probably half a block away when you and John decided to extricate yourself from the situation. And you turned around and you're like, what the hell? I was like half a block away. And I was like, listen, I've been on the road long enough to know when crazy people start doing crazy shit, you just walk away. Okay? You don't engage them in their craziness.
I wanted to hear a sales pitch.
Come on, man. This works. Check it. I couldn't believe he started shaving his head.
I couldn't believe that
either.
That
just fucking made me laugh so hard. But I think the only story that trumps that one, at least that I've heard from Dublin's, was with Frank Roach.
Yeah. He
Well, he's had some different ones there.
Right.
Because he had the one.
The Friday night that he headlined, we did Friday, Saturday at that time, and he headlined the Friday show and got drunk. And almost fought a guy. And what happened was there was actually two twins at the show. And one of the twins was heckling him, and the other one was quiet.
This sounds like a magic trick.
I think it was.
Didn't he knock out the other twin in the hallway?
He punched the wrong twin in the quiet one.
Holy shit, I forgot, man. That's hilarious. There was twins. One of them was heckling him. The other one was quiet, and he knocked out the quiet one after the show, or just punched
him. He punched him. And
Jesus Christ.
So he got kicked out of the bar, of course. He came back and did the early show on Saturday and had five or six shots on stage.
Jeez.
If not seven.
Oh, man.
And left in between shows and just never came back.
That is rough, man. I remember was it America's Got Talent?
America's Got Talent.
I wonder if I can pull that up and play that on the podcast. That'd be fucking funny.
I think it's on there if you type in.
Because he did.
That's a big credit for him at this point.
He got the opportunity to be on America's Got Talent, and he did it the first night, or the first audition, and he did a bunch of impressions, and they really liked it, but they made some kind of comment. Like, when you come back and do it again, like, they want to see something else.
See more.
Yeah.
I think something along the lines of more of that material.
I think this is it. Let's see here. That's not it. 35 seconds. That can't be it.
It's gotta be on there. Hey, let's hear it for a week.
It's just
him and the judges are the only ones.
You know what? I think he pulled it off of here. He just nodded no and said yeah. I don't see it on here.
Oh, no.
Unless it's the 17-second clip.
To the movie Star Wars, these are the auditions you didn't get to see. Jack Nicholson's audition for Darth Vader.
Luke, I got some bad news. As it turns out, I'm your father.
That was it? Yeah, it's not on here anymore. I feel like you pulled it off.
Oh, you must have got it taken off.
Well, yeah, because it was... It was pretty embarrassing, because the second time that he went up, he said that he went and he wrote all this new material during the day to do on the show that night, which sounds ridiculous. And when I watched it, like, I've worked with Frank before, and I didn't recognize any of that material, so I feel like he did went and just, like, wrote material, and it obviously bombed. He tried to start over.
He asked him, he's like, can I just go back and come back in and try again? And open with the same exact joke that bombed the first time.
It's just ridiculous. So he obviously did not move on. So he's just an odd dude, man. Because I remember the first time that I worked with him, I did the, I did, like, Mount Pleasant.
Oh, okay.
And then we did, what the hell was the other thing we did? We did another one-nighter, and then we finished up at Gary, the guy in Battle Creek. Do you remember that guy's last name?
No.
Gary,
I know who you're talking about.
Gary, god damn, that's gonna bother me. Anyway, so we did that on the weekend, and he brought this trunk with him. And his big closer was that he did a Chris Farley impression, and the trunk was just the Chris Farley costume. And I was like, this fucking guy travels all over the place with this trunk just to do this Chris Farley impression. It wasn't that good. It wasn't that good.
No.
I'll tell the second time that I went back and did Gary's room in Battle Creek, I was working with or the guy with the glasses, and he would wear the beret, and he would play the guitar, and he would drink tons of Jameson.
Oh, Don Trenagle.
No, that's not even close.
I was off.
His first name was two initials, and then the last name was like Maloney, or like D.H. Maloney or Mahoney or something like that. Anyways, he wrote an actual like musical album with this other guy that he was with, the big song that he had that actually got some radio play was called Geronimo's Cadillac. So when he played Gary's Club in Battle Creek, like, he always had a deal that no matter what, he would close the show by playing Geronimo's Cadillac. And it's not funny. It's like a real song. So what was funny about it was we did two shows Friday and two Saturday, and every show he would explain it. And he had a friend of his that came on stage and played the guitar with him.
Oh, wow.
And he would explain, like, this is not a funny song. It's a real song that I wrote that got radio play and blah, blah, blah. And people would enjoy it, and they would sit and listen. And there was just one show where this drunk lady just didn't get it. So every line of lyric that he would sing, she would laugh. And after like four or five lines, he finally had to stop, and he's like, listen, bitch, this is not a funny fucking song. This is a real song. Which is a stupid thing to yell.
Of course
it's a real song. You're playing it.
Right.
But I'm like, I don't know, man. It was just so funny.
That's awesome.
I was trying to remember some of the gigs that we did together that were...
Helena, Montana.
I know Helena, Montana is...
That's a big one.
Let's save that one as the crescendo, if we can remember any of the other ones.
I think the first place we worked on the road together was... Olympia Resort.
That was it.
That was in
Oconomowoc, Washington.
Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, yeah. It was so really my first road gig.
That was a fun gig, man. So it was in this hotel, but it was like a resort hotel. Like, I still don't understand.
I just did
that gig like 4 or 5 months ago.
Oh, wow.
And it was still pretty cool. The people were just really strange.
Got people that I still talk to from that.
Really?
So, yeah.
That's where the famous picture of me and you were. I'm holding you like a baby after the show, and they took a picture of it.
60 pounds ago.
Like, I was carrying you over the threshold of the wedding house. Like, tonight I actually tried to pick him up again, and I almost threw my back out. It was a different time, a long time ago.
That was 5 years ago?
Yeah, 5 or 6 years ago.
Six almost. I just turned 21.
Man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think anything that crazy happened then. I feel like my wife was with me on that trip that you met Anita.
She was. And, that might be the first time I met her.
Yeah. And I don't feel like anything really crazy happened there.
No.
But so we did. We did Williston.
We've done Williston.
We did that one run. Like, that whole run, did we do it twice?
We've done two triple runs together.
Yeah.
You booked the Idaho room,
Idaho Falls.
You had a different Idaho room. I can't remember the city.
Oh, Triangle?
Yeah, with the rappers came to the show.
Yeah, I booked it on my own. And
what
was that? It was called the Green Triangle.
What city was it in?
That was Pocatello.
Oh, Pocatello.
Pocatello, that's... Idaho, yeah. So we did that gig and like five people showed up. But those people fucking loved you. to the point that I got on stage and like, you almost buried me. Like, I was like, these people could care less what I was talking about. They loved you so much. But I feel like we did...
We did
Williston... And then we went to...
We did Dickinson first off.
Dickinson.
And
oh, my God.
And I could forget all about Dickinson.
Oh, my God. What a fucking nightmare. They had remodeled the bar out there, and that was, like, where they do where they have the oil rig workers, and they set the stage up right in front of the jukebox, and there was like no stage. They just handed you a wireless microphone and told you to stand in front of the jukebox and just tell jokes. I've never felt so bad about bringing anyone with on a gig before. I was like off in the shadows watching her up there. But you held your own up there, man.
That was rough. There's those two guys up front, and they finally left for a cigarette break. I don't think they came back.
God, that gig was brutal, man.
I can't remember what they were saying, but...
bad things. Yeah, I'm nothing pretty sure. Good.
Oh, I just, at one point... just right in the middle of me talking, he just looks at his friend. He's like, what the hell is he talking about?
That's when you know you're doing really well. When someone in the front's like, what the fuck is this guy talking about?
I think I just looked at you at that point. I was like, sorry.
Sorry? I remember that. I was off in the wing. And he just looked over at me and said, sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to do my best. But holy crap,
I think
crap,
the one
man.
Thing that came out of that show was free drinks at the end of the night.
But I feel like we did the run.
Because that was
like
the run.
Early in the year. Like, I feel like we did the same run twice, but it was different venues. Like, the one time we did it, it was Dickinson, Williston, Idaho Falls. Or
Billings.
Dickinson, Williston, Pocatello. And then Billings was the first time that we did it.
Right.
And then the second time we did it, it was Williston, Idaho Falls, something, and then Helena.
Right.
I don't know. But all the gigs were shit. I mean, just a horrible run of shows.
What was it that you picking up paychecks tour?
Yeah. Do you have my money? Well, no, we did Williston. And
Williston actually wasn't bad. That was probably
I'm not gonna mention the comic's name, but a long time ago I had an incident with a comic, and it was a weird night, let's just say that. And I apologized. I don't know if I've mentioned it or not, but I kind of gossiped around the comedy community about what I saw that night. It was just a very strange thing. It was like a guy that I felt was straight was doing kind of gayish things, and it was just really weird to look
gay.
At. Yeah. So I kind of told people this story, because like when you're on the road, you're in the car for like 9 hours.
You can't keep these stories to yourself sometimes.
And you just got road stories. So you tell road stories when you're in the car. And it was such a strange story, because... the guy was odd. He's obviously very odd. And he would make comments that I didn't know if he was straight or gay. And then we ended up at a party in someone's hotel room, and I turned around, and he was, like, sucking a guy's dick. And it was, like, kind of quick, and it was supposed to be, like, silly, but he still had a man's penis in his mouth. And, like, as much as you try to argue away... like, you did it for the joke, like,
nothing takes that back. There's no...
you're just like, what?
You've gone too far.
And I just remember turning... I was talking to two women that were a lesbian couple, and I just, like, was interested in, like, how their relationship was, and we were having a conversation. And then the dick thing happened, and I turned to them, and I go, well, that'll do it for me. And they were like, what? And I go... when dudes start sucking other dudes' dicks, like...
the party's over.
It's time for me to go. And the one said, you can't handle it? And I go, oh, I can handle it. I just don't want to look at it. So anyways, this story got everywhere. So then I got...
full circle.
I got an email from this guy on Facebook saying that he started a comedy room and he wanted me to come up there and perform and I should bring my own opener and all this stuff. And I had so much anxiety going up there because I thought that it was all fake. Like, that I would get up there and he'd be like, gotcha, bitch. You know, finally I get my revenge on you. So when we got up there, I was all nervous to meet him and whatever. And he was just like completely cool guy. Like, he loved you, still loves you.
Too much.
Yeah, he makes some odd comments around Randy that he wants to like...
it makes me uncomfortable.
Gay relations with him. He wants to... be gayish with Randy. But I just remember how much he loved you. Like, you were on stage and he was sitting back with me and he was like losing his shit. He was like, I love this fucking little dude. We should say for the people that don't know Randy, Randy is about, what, 5 foot?
5'2".
5'2".
On a good day.
Like 140?
Yeah, about 140 now.
Okay. He's a tiny man, let's just say that. And he has, for lack of a better term, boyish features. You have been been mistaken for a teenager.
Yeah.
We can say that, right?
Yeah, we can say that. It's it's unfortunate.
What was the story you told me today about somebody thinking you were a kid?
Oh, I was in Kentucky, and this lady was like, I just really don't like child comics.
It still makes me laugh. You got off stage and a lady said, I don't like child comics. Oh, like, God, man.
26 years old, ma'am.
But that's, you know, I think that's that's a pretty safe assumption that you have boyish features.
I think it's, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not fooling anyone. Yeah.
And you play it up on stage. You got a lot of jokes about getting a kid's meal at Subway and people asking if you want a cookie or getting on a short bus and stuff. I still think that should be a funny joke about that you were taking the bus somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get off a school bus or whatever.
I'd do that tomorrow night.
But what the hell was I talking about? I was trying to get to a point here.
No, we were talking about Stefano and...
Oh, yeah. So, what?
Edit that.
What? Oh, Jesus, man. Now I gotta go back and edit this out like he's listening to our podcast. I might get an email on Facebook.
Randy's not coming back.
We were talking about this guy. No one knows what we said. No one was paying attention. They didn't write it down. Again. He only said it once really quick. Anyways.
And that's not even his real name.
Yeah, so that'll work. You know, don't say his full name. So from there we went to Pocatello and there was no one at the show. And I feel like we did another gig somewhere. And it was probably something I booked myself. And anyways, so that week of shows wasn't that crazy. It was
Billings was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Billings is always a good time. I've talked about that on the podcast before. But it was that second run that we did because... I usually have a rule of thumb that I won't book anything near or past the Rocky Mountains after, like, October 31st.
Oh, yeah.
Because you could get caught in a blizzard out there, like, within seconds. So I was like, forget it.
This was November, wasn't it?
This was the first week of November. Like, I pushed it. I pushed it by a week. I was like, this should be all right. And I remember that trip. We were missing the storm everywhere we went. Like, we were in Williston.
You went and got new tires even for this.
Because in Williston, they were like, the storm's going to be moving in by like 8 in the morning and they were going to get like 16 inches of snow. So we left at like 7 a.m. And we got to, I think it was Dickinson. And I got new tires on my car. And it was still clear.
Dickinson, yeah.
And we got all the way to Idaho Falls, and it was clear the whole way. So we were watching the news, and, like, our next gig was going to be in Helena, Montana. And on the news, they were like, Helena just got, like, 14 inches of snow. And we were like, holy fuck. So we're, like, in our heads going, well, by the time we get there, like, it should be cleared away, and we should be able. And it kind of was. Like, once we got there, like, the roads were clear. Like, we could get into Helena pretty easily, and we found our hotel, and... But it was that we got to the gig, because we're at the hotel and like it's 14 inches of snow, like
14 inches.
It's fucking like up to the doors of cars. There's cars that are like snowed in, and we're like, we called the place, and we checked in, and it turned out that the show was gonna be for like an Eagles or like an Elks or something.
Elks Club,
like that.
Elks Lodge.
And he said that the. The average age of the show was, like, older. So we were like, nobody's going to show up to this fucking thing.
No, not in 14 inches of brand new snow.
Yeah. that show was full.
It was packed.
Full of old fucking people.
I don't think
oh
any...
Oh my God, man.
Now, one person under 60 years old, that was the youngest person by far, was 60. It had to have been.
I'll tell you, man. There's certain audiences that make me nervous. And I think the two biggest ones that make me nervous before I go on stage are when an audience is all black. Because I'm not that comic. I just don't have that stuff for them, you know. And when they're really old, because my references are young, and I'm not filthy, but I'm edgy, and I have, like, sexual material that they wouldn't find that funny.
Right.
So we got to that gig, and we're looking in the room, and my God, it felt like fucking bingo night at the nursing home. I mean, it's like, I remember taking a picture of it and putting it on my Facebook, because I was just like, this is ridiculous.
And then at the end of the night, they loved you.
Well, yeah, you know.
They didn't hear me, and they loved you.
Yeah, wow. You were talking about fruit snacks and you know, what the fuck, Gushers gum. They didn't know what the hell you were talking about.
No.
Like, I tried to I tried to normalize my set and clean it up.
No, you killed it.
Didn't we go to, we went to Subway before the show. I remember that. It's, I don't know why I brought that up. The people are riveted at the Subway stories. These Subway stories are amazing. I love it.
I remember the other place that we went to.
Was it?
How did we forget Glendive, North Dakota? And we walk into the club.
Was
and
that
the
Mad Hatters?
I think so. And that guy just is the bar manager there. He's like, hey, I wrote a song for you guys.
Oh, it's that fucking guy. I remember that guy now.
I wrote a song for you.
What was the song?
It's called Go Fuck Yourselves.
Oh, man. He was such a nice guy to welcome us that way. I wrote a song for you. It's called Go Fuck Yourself. I remember, but I feel like that show was great. Like, I sold shit ton of t-shirts there.
You did.
And, like, the green room backstage was just, like, the storage room with all this weird shit in there.
Yeah.
Glendive. Yeah, I fucking remember that place now. That was another,
I've never been more peer pressured into drinking before than that place.
Oh, yeah. Because I feel like we had to get up really early to go.
I think
someplace.
We left right after.
That's
that was,
what it was. Like, we
and that's when we hit the storm.
No, Helena, Montana was the storm.
But didn't we do?
I don't feel like we hit anything from Glendive. But
oh, maybe not.
Yeah, so.
Maybe you're right. We left from Helena and drove straight
we
home.
Got up really early. We didn't leave right after the show.
Oh,
we
that's
got
right.
up. We got up at like 4 or 5 in the morning and just started driving. And I remember looking on the Weather Channel, going, "Well, the storm's gone, so we should be fine." I tell you this, folks. Like, I don't know who listens to this podcast, but if you've done any over-road traveling during the winter time or anything. This was the scariest drive of my entire fucking life, because it was all the factors. So the roads had not been cleared properly. I mean, the snow
not
was
at
cleared.
All.
The snow was cleared, but what had happened was during the day the snow got cleared, and then it like melted a little bit, and then it froze. So the whole road was ice. And there's nothing I hate more than ice when I'm driving, because snow, at least you have a little grip with it, but ice, your car's just sliding all over the fucking place. So you add ice, we're driving through the mountains, so it's up and down and around and up and down.
Pitch black outside.
Yeah, daytime, it's like overcast and dark. Blowing snow, semi-trucks, freezing temperatures.
I think the semi-trucks were the worst part, passing, and you can't see anything for a good...
Because they would fly by.
4 seconds.
They would kick up all the snow, and it would swirl around the car, and you're like, well, I would just put my hands up, like, I sure hope the fuck we don't drive off the road, because I can't see where we're going. And I remember, like, all I was thinking in my head was, like, just get to Dickinson, North Dakota, just to get, because I have driven that drive so many times that I know that right after Dickinson, North Dakota, there's no more mountains. Like, it's a straight drive. So in my head, I'm like, just get to Dickinson, just get to Dickinson. We left Helena, Montana at 5 in the morning. And from Helena to Dickinson, North Dakota, I would say it's roughly 5 hours, maybe. Do you remember how long it took us to get to Dickinson? I feel like it was like 12 hours.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It took us, a 5 hour drive took us 12 hours because there was a time for 4 hours in a row we couldn't stop because it was that bullshit out. And we were driving like 30 miles an hour. Like, it was just ridiculous. And then we got to Dickinson, and it flattened out. But then it started, like, ice raining. And then we got to Bismarck, and you were like, listen, I'm cool if we just call it a night and, like, get a hotel room.
Share a hotel.
And I need to ask you this, because I remember turning to you, and I was like, I am not letting this beat me. Like, I'm getting home tonight.
You said and you were exactly
like,
that.
Okay. Like, were you terrified? Like, I was just like,
I was pretty scared.
Ah! I don't know what it was about that night, but I was just like, I do not want this to beat me.
And it didn't. You made it home.
Oh, God, man. That was the worst drive. I've had a lot of bad drives.
That's the worst I've ever seen it.
Oh, my God, man. Just all those elements together. Like the fucking ice, the mountains, the wind, the semi-trucks. I mean, all of it together.
Nothing good.
It was
good.
The worst thing. Like, I was in Edmonton, Canada, and I drove. I was driving home, and I started driving. I got about 3 hours on the road, and it was like two lanes on both sides, and I look across the highway, and all the cars and trucks on the other side of the highway have their flashers on, and they're all going like really slow. And my side, there really wasn't any cars for some reason, and I'm just flying along, and I'm like, God, I wonder why they all have their flashers on. So I turn my cruise control off, and my car just starts like swirling shaking around the road because it's glaze ice on the road. So I had to drive about like 6 hours at like 30 miles an hour, and that one was pretty brutal. But this one was that at least was flat because it was Canada. So I'm like, if I go off the road, I'm just gonna like roll into a cornfield or something like that. But like, you fucking fall off the road between like Livingston and Billings, Montana,
you're
fucking going down. You're probably dead.
Yeah, right? There's no doubt.
Oh, my God, man. I had so many nightmares about that drive after we did it. Like, I would have nightmares that, like, my car would just fly off the side of the road. You ever have those dreams where it's, like, it's so real, you know? Like, I slid off the road, and my car was, like, flying. And I was, like, what's there to do now? And you know, we're just going to crash, you know? And then you wake up, and you're like, oh, my God.
You think your car is totaled, and you're like, what am I going to do?
I don't know what it is. Like, I had one of those dreams, it was about 6 months ago, where it was, like, me and my wife and my daughter and, like, some other family members, like, in a van. And for whatever reason, we were, like, driving down near, like, Orlando. And we were just, like, driving down the road, and somehow I missed the sign that, like, the road was closed. So like, driving across this huge, like, highway bridge. And there was just, like, all these huge holes in it because they were, like, working on it. And for whatever reason, like, I couldn't stop the car. Like, I felt like I had to drive over all the holes and, like, make it across. And, like, halfway through it, like, the bridge gave way and the car just went down through the bridge. And we were, like zooming straight down towards the water. And I was like, what the fuck? And then I just woke up. I was like, God, that's so crazy. Because it's so real, you know?
Right, it's... Yeah, when you and then you just shake when you wake up.
Oh, well, I'm
just
glad.
Like you like just fell down or something.
Well, I'm glad I have it that way because I hear a lot of people that have it the reverse way, where all the dreams are good, like better than their life, and then they wake up and they're like,
"Oh, fuck,
that didn't happen." You know, like winning the lottery or like you're married to a Playboy model or something like that.
Do you have a lot of dreams about stand-up?
You know, I don't have that many about stand-up. I don't know what it is, but for a long time, I had a ton of dreams that I did something wrong, and I was either being chased by the authorities or by like a kill squad from like the mafia or something. Like I saw something I shouldn't have seen, and I was being chased, or I did something and like there was a warrant out for my arrest. And I read up on it afterwards. It said like dreams of being chased had something to do with like secrets or something, like having secrets or something or whatever.
Well, I'm interested in that sort of stuff and dreams. Yeah. And I have a lot of dreams of going on stage and everybody just walking out.
It's not a dream, buddy. It's not a dream. It's going to happen tomorrow.
And then I go to bed at night after the show.
No,
just pretend I was sleeping.
I don't know why it is, but I also have a lot of dreams that somehow I didn't finish college. Like, I wake up and, like, for some reason I had to take, like, one or two more courses at college to get my degree. So I have to go back to college. And
did you look that one up and it just was your college? It had an explanation in
there. Going back to college means that you're terrified that your penis won't get hard anymore. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. That's,
I believed it. I was like, oh.
So, Randy, right now in your life, things are pretty bad. before we left on this trip, your car exploded.
It's gone.
Your mother-in-law's car exploded.
Both cars.
I don't know what you would call the mother of your girlfriend.
She's a mother-in-law, okay. Pretty much.
So her car blew up.
They're both, gone.
Like a handful of your friends from work just went to prison for heroin.
They weren't my friends, but they went to prison.
You showed up at my doorstep with $4 cash, and we made the trek up here to Bismarck. Thankfully, after the show, some nice gentleman just out of nowhere gave you $20.
That's what I love about North Dakota.
They just hand you $20.
They make it rain.
They make it rain. It's such an odd, like, downstairs area to the shows.
It's a maze, like, down there.
Yeah, it's
with a picture of Dustin Diamond on the wall.
Oh boy. What are you you're promoing the next podcast?
I'm getting ready for it.
Okay. Well, if you like what Randy had to say on this podcast, this is part one of a two-parter. Because on the next podcast, the whole podcast is going to be Screech stories. Because Randy, for a whole year, was, what's his real name?
Dustin Diamond.
Dustin Diamond. What was his real name on...
Samuel Powers
on Saved by the Bell. Screech, you were his standard opener for a year, and
year and a half,
and part two of this podcast is just going to be all Dustin Diamond stories. So if you like this, tune in next time. We're gonna put that up next week. So check it out. I don't know how to stop this. Is there anything else you want to say before I hit stop on this?
That's
for this podcast?
Thank you for listening.
So that was my interview with Randy Ancarlo. If you like the podcast, check us out on iTunes and Podbean. All my new tour dates are up on largedrunkman.com. My Twitter is TheMarkPoulos. I did a second interview with Randy about his time as Dustin Diamond, Screech from Saved by the Bell's opener. He toured with him for about a year and a half and had a lot of funny and interesting stories about it. So tune in next week when that episode hits the website. So thanks for listening in, and as always, tune in next time when we talk about who knows.